Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the third line. We had learned in the Mishnah a question about Eev's status in his Avodas Hashem. And the Gemara says, "Boy b'yoyim, that day Darsha b'yishu b'harkness, yishu b'harkness taught us shloi avad Eev served a Kodesh Baruch Hu elop." Me'ahava. The higher madrega of how to serve Hashem is through Ahavas Hashem. And Rabbi Yishuv ben Hurkanah said, the Pasuk says in Eev, Hein yikdeleni loy ayachel. Loy means I remain close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he also quoted the Pasuk, At egva loy osur to Moslem mimeni. Until I pass away, I will remain close, I will keep close collection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question was how to pronounce the word loy ayachel, as the Mashal explains. Doesn't mean loy with a vav, and Eev was saying loy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I remain devoted no matter what. That's one way of understanding. And the other way of understanding is loy ayachel, that at a certain, with an aleph, that at a certain point, I am no longer so devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it depends on how the loy is spelled, with a vav or an aleph. Ask the Gemara, what's the room for the question? For Lechsi, let's just open up a sefer Eiv and see how loy, this word, has it spelled. Ib lam aleph ksiv, and or is it considered, is it written with a aleph, and then shloihu, it means I don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yargeni. If I'm already at the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kill me, my devotion to him will terminate. Or loy vi lamed vovksiv, and it means loy, that I'm his under all circumstances. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained that the Gemara's question is not just open up a sefer. Everybody knows that that's something that you could do. Just open up a sefer and see what the sefer says. What the Gemara means to say is, we know that the spelling is Lamed Vav. But the Gemara's question is, that although the spelling is Lamed Vav, maybe this is a situation of a Kri and a Ksiv, which we often find in the Torah. And when we find a Kri and a Ksiv in the Torah, maybe even though it's spelled one way, it's pronounced another way. Ask the Gemara, and if it's spelled Lamed Aleph, the Kol Hechad Ksiv B'Lamed Aleph Loihu, does it necessarily mean that I'm not? Elamata, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, B'chol Tzorosam Loi Tzor. The Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu Loi Tzor is not pained by our suffering. The Ksiv, if we look at the spelling of the word, the spelling of the word is with a lamed aleph. B'ksiv lamed aleph. Hachanami the loyhu doesn't mean that the pasuk saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't feel for our pain. Ella the ksiv lamed aleph hachanami the loyhu v'chi tema hachanami. And if one would want to make an argument that Kadosh Baruch Hu is chas v'shalom making a statement that if Klal Yisrael is suffering, it doesn't bother him. The Ksiv, the Pasuk continues there, saying that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees a suffering, or Malach Panim Hashem, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu sends his Malach to save us. Ella, Mashmahachim, Mashmahachim. Even if it's spelled one way or another way, that isn't compelling us to explain it a certain way. Says the Gemara Tanya Rav Meir Omer, Nema Yeril Kim Be'iyav. The Pasuk says, as the Mishnah quoted that Pasuk, regarding Eev, the first Pasuk in Sefer Eev, Ish Tom V'yashar V'yirei Elikim Sar Mirah. V'nem Yirei Elikim V'Avram. And the Pasuk calls Avram Avinu a Yirei Elikim. As the Pasuk says, Ki Ato Yudati Ki Rei Elikim Ato. Ma Yirei Elikim Ha'om of Avram. Just like the Pasuk uses the word Yirei Elikim by Avram Avinu, but we know it means Ahava, as we'll see in a moment. Af Yirei Elikim Ha'om of Eev, even though the Pasuk describes Eev as Yirei Elikim, It means that he served Hashem Yehava. And says the Gemara, Vavram Gufei Menolan, and by Avram Avinu, how do we know that that is indeed the case? The Ksiv, Zera Avraham Oyavai. So we see that Avram Avinu, even though he's discussed, called the Yirei Elokim, is also called the Oyver Hashem Yehava. I saw a very nice pshat. The pasuk says, V'terenu Hamiyaldus HaSolokim, we learned the Gemara earlier in our Masechta, that Yocheved and Miriam, who were the midwives in Mitzrayim, served Hashem with tremendous devotion. So the question is, they served Hashem with tremendous devotion, and yet the pasuk only calls them Yirei Elokim, which we're learning over here is a lower madrega than Avram than Ahava. Says the Gemara that says the Sefer Yogel Yaakov that certainly the Mayaldos served Hashem from Ahava, and the pasuk says with Terenu Mayaldos, it says that they did it from Yira. So he explains, we see Avram Avinu, also the pasuk uses those words, and it doesn't mean be'ahava. What's the proof? He says, because the pasuk says, v'yaslam batim, they received this incredible, wonderful reward. They would have not received such a wonderful, incredible reward if they wouldn't have done it, me'ahavas Hashem. The pasuk says in Tehillim, the Rishna says this word. The Rishna was at one time imprisoned in jail, and he quoted the pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Gam ki ela begeit samovas lo ira ro." So he says, "I'm in the gate samovas. I'm in jail, and even though I'm in jail, or when I'm in jail, it's a proof ki atem modi." What he says the proof? It's the proof from what we learned in today's shir. The pasuk says, "Bechol tzarosam lo tzor." When Klal Yisrael, Rachmanon Tzlan, is suffering, Loi Tzor, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. So he says, when a Jew sees that he's suffering Chas V'Shalom, he should not take that as a sign, as Chas V'Shalom, Hashem has forsaken him. On the contrary, that Ke'ati Imodi, that Hashem is with me always. The Sefer Charedim, when he discusses the Madrega of Avram Avinu, of, as the Gemara says, Zev Avram Ahavi, he says, what is the sign that somebody is serving Hashem out of Yerushalayim? He says that a person who not only serves Hashem, but he works on getting other people to serve Hashem, the Avram Avinu, who stands for as a Nefesh HaShasa B'Karen, Avram Avinu, who tried to bring people closer to Hashem, a person who serves Hashem in a way of trying to bring people closer to Hashem, that is the proof that he is serving Hashem Mehava. Says the Gemara, "My Ika Ben Oysa Mehava L'Maisa Meira." What? How do we see the difference? Ika, the difference. Ika the Tanya. The difference is seen with what Rav Shimon Ben Elazar taught us. The Tanya of Shimon Ben Elazar Omer, "God Lo Oysa Mehava Yoysa Min Oysa Meira." Somebody who serves Hashem from a Hava is in a higher madriga than somebody who serves Hashem out of Yira. Zeh Tali Leliftar. Somebody who serves Hashem out of a Hava, it remains for 1,000 generations. Zeh Tali Lapayimdar. And somebody who serves Hashem out of a Hava has it for 2,000 years. Hochiksiv, the Pasuk says, by somebody who serves Hashem Mehava, the pasuk says Vayisach Chesel Alofim Loi Oyhava El Shemri Metzoysai, and by somebody who serves Hashem out of Yiriksiv, the Shemri Metzoysav Level of Dar. But ask the Gemara, look at the pasuk that speaks about Elof Dar. The pasuk says there Loi Oyhavav El Shemri Metzoysav Level of Dar. Isn't that clearly an indication that even somebody who serves Hashem out of a Havas Hashem it's Level of Dar? Says the Gemara like this. Hi, the Pasuk, we always look at what's closest. The Pasuk that says Alofim for 2,000 dor, it says La'alofim lo'yahai avai. So the Alofim is connected to the Ayav Hashem. For Hi, and the Pasuk says, that speaks about those that serve Hashem out of Yira, the word, it says, L'shomrei mitzvayis of La'alof dor. So we look at the context, In this context, the alpayim is on somebody who serves Hashem for that amount, and in this context, it's for somebody who serves Hashem only for that amount. Says the Gemara, the one for Ahava is 2,000 year, and the one from Yira, the one from Yira is somebody who serves Hashem only for $1,000. So I saw the Mefarshim point out that from all the others that we have, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the only one that is called Oyavai is Avram Avinu. Why was Avram Avinu? Certainly, all the Avos must have served Hashem out of Ahava. Why is it specifically Avram Avinu that's called that way? So the Mefarshim explained that Avram Avinu was the one that came from a family. We know his father was Terach, and Terach was an Eved Avodah Zorah. And even though he came from such a background, Avram Avinu became the great servant of Hashem. That's somebody who is able to lift himself up from his background and come so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the person that's called Ohev Hashem. And in fact, we know that the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is Magen Avram. And the Gemara teaches us that when we end the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we only speak about Avram Avinu. We speak about Avram Avinu and none of the other Avos. Why? So I saw that the Sefer Levi Omar explains. It's speaking about our generation. In our time, that there are many people that don't come from such a strong background. But even though they don't come from such a strong background, these are the people who are considered the Oyevei Hashem. These are considered the people who love Hashem and become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chah Chaismim, when Mashiach will come, and Chaismim, as the Golos will come to an end, B'chah, the same type of people like Avram Avinu, who served Hashem even in a time, even though he came from a weak background, that's going to be the way the door of Mashiach will look, that we will be people who will serve Hashem, even though we don't come necessarily from such a strong, great background. Says the Gemara, Hani Trei Talmidei Rav Yosef Kamei, the Rava, there were two Talmidim were learning by Rava. Chad Amalei Akrim Chalami, to one of them, Rava said, I saw in my dream the pasuk that stated in Tehillim, Marav Tufcha, Asher Tzofanta L'Riecha, V'chad Amalei, Akrim B'Chalomi, I saw in my dream the pasuk, V'Yismuchu, also pasuk, and tell him, V'Yismuchu Kolchos Baruch L'Olam Yiraneinu, V'Yaltzu B'cha Oyvei Shemecha. And they asked Rava, what is the interpretation of our dream? Amalei, so Rava told them, Tavaychu Rabbonim Tzadikim Gemurim Atam, you're both full-fed Tzadikim. Mar, the pasuk that the Talmud that saw the pasuk of Yismuchu Kol Chaisei B'cha is serving Hashem Me'ahava, and that's why the pasuk continues there. V'yaltzu B'cha Oyvei Shemecha. Mar, the person that's serving the other Talmud, you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Yira, as the pasuk says before that pasuk, Marav Tovcha Shetzvanta L'Riecha, and therefore you are an individual that's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meyira. Hadron Loch Shem Shamayim, Hadron Loch Shem Shamayim, Hadron Loch Shem Shamayim. Misha Kinel Ishtai, somebody who did Kinui, Venistra, and then she had Stira. Afila Shama Baal Mi Oifa Pereach, even if the husband only heard from a bird that his wife acted in such a manner, Harehi, the halach is she's considered a soita, and since she's considered a woman that had an inappropriate relationship, the halach is yotzi, he should divorce her. However, we think ksuba, the halach is that she give ksuba the verbalizer. And as Rashi explains, Rashi holds that you don't have, Rebbe Lezer's opinion is that you don't have to have two Eidim for the stira, and therefore you could divorce her under these circumstances. Rabbi Shuaimer, whereas Rabbi Shua's opinion is that woman doesn't become considered that she had stira at she yitzu v'yitneba mezaris b'vayna. Until the people who women are speaking about her, the women are speaking about her, and adapt that she certainly had an inappropriate relationship. So there's a machlokes rishonim how to learn this Gemara. We just explained the Gemara, Mishnah like Rashi, that oifa pereach means that there's a weak rumor, and still, even though there's a weak rumor, it's still enough to make her disqualified, and Rabbi Shua requires a stronger rumor. Taisus Arosh, this has a difficulty because that all of these things are not strong enough. And therefore, Taisus explains that the Mishnah speaking about that there were Edom that there was Stira, but after the Kinui, there was a rumor about her. And since there are no Edis that there was Stira, but there was Kinui and a rumor. And the question is, the machlokes is, given that there was kinui, but there wasn't a real stira, what will be the halacha? And Taisus explains what the Mishnah is teaching us is that these types of situation are equivalent to a stira. However, since they're not actually a real stira, that's why the Mishnah says that he has to divorce her, but even though he has to divorce her, the halacha is he has to pay the ksuba. The Rashbam disagrees. And the Rashbam says that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that there was kinui and there was stira, but he can't give her to drink once you have these situations. According to Belezer, once there was oifa pereach, it's enough that she should not be allowed to drink the mayim amorim. Once there were noshim, is enough of a reason that she can't drink. And that's why the Rashbam says, the Mishnah says he has to divorce her, he can't give her to drink, but even though he can't give her to drink, he has to divorce her because of these rumors or these situations, and also pay out the ksuba. So now, our Mishnah introduced a new concept, and that is a concept of oifa pereach, a weak rumor. And the question is, if there's only a weak rumor, how does the halacha view a situation of a weak rumor? Does the halacha consider this a straw, something that we should take and use in any halachic deliberation? So, because the question comes up, can we rely on a lie detector test in Beis Din? And all the Paiskim seem to take the position that even though our Mishnah just taught us that not always is proper Eidus required, you do need to have something that is in the when it comes to where our halacha requires Eidus, lie detector test would not be sufficient. The Shas HaTshuvah Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Tezayin Simen Memzayin discusses this. The Deber Tzina Rav Zitzal and Shas HaTshuvah Ber Moshe Chelik Zayin Simen Ayin Test discovers this. And they both say that a lie detector test is based on a person's reaction to the questions that he's being asked. And even though they both indicate that studies have shown the lie detector test are highly correct, but they're only in the category of an umdana. It's something that we're establishing not based on an actual fact. It's more in the category of circumstantial. And there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Shavuos Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph teaches us that where one person was running after another person into a churva, and Rav Shimon ben Shatach saw how one person was chasing the other person, and then he walked in and he saw there was one person laying there, stabbed, bleeding. And he still was not able, the halacha was not able to say that the person who was chasing him and there was no one else in the room, still he was not identified as a murderer. And the Tzitz Eliezer actually quotes a Zohar. The Zohar says that Shlomo HaMelech made a throne, and what he did, the throne was that if a person would come in front of Shlomo HaMelech and he was guilty, the throne would start to shake. And that's how, if the person said something which was not true. And the Zohar says the Tzitz Eliezer, even though this was Shlomo HaMelech saying this, seeing and creating this, and we know the greatness of Shlomo HaMelech, it doesn't make a difference. The Zohar says we can't judge people based on that way. So Tosfos asks a question that shouldn't have this perek that we're learning now been taught at the beginning of the Masechta. At the beginning of the Masechta, where we discussed everything about the procedure of how a woman becomes a Saita, so now our Mishnah should have been taught. Why is it taught all the way here after we're talking about a woman who's a Saita can marry, who could she marry, could she need Truma? So the Cheshik Shlaima explains that it could be that our Mishnah is also speaking about a case where a woman actually drank and she came out innocent from drinking. So we would think that since she drank and came out innocent, such a woman should be allowed to go back to her husband and they should live, so to speak, happily ever after. So our Mishnah is teaching us that so is not the case. And our Mishnah is teaching us that if, according to the Cheshik Shlaima, it's none of the Pshatim that we've quoted, but he says that even if after the woman drank, there's oifa pareach or whatever, that the halacha is that she can't go back to her husband. The halacha is, there's an interesting question. Let's say this wasn't the case, where we don't have the various situations that our Mishnah just spoke about. And that's when the woman drinks the mayim hamarim, if there was kinu and stira. There's a machloikus, is that what the halacha requires? That if the woman is in such a status, we obligate the husband to bring her to drink the mayim hamarim? Or if he wants to, he could give her the mayim hamarim, but not something that he's obligated to do. And it's a big machloikus, Paiskim, Mechas Chinuch discusses this, and others discuss it, that the Beis Shmuel says that we force him to drink, to give it to drink under such circumstances. Others disagree. Moreover, the Mishnah continues the Mishnah. Omer Eid Echot, if an Eid Echot says, Ani Re'isi Shenitmas, I saw her doing this act, here too, she wouldn't drink, even though it's only the testimony of Eid Echad. Even if we have an Eved of a Shifcha that is saying this testimony, Harel and Amonim, they're trusted with this testimony, that she should lose her Ksuba. The question that many Rishonim debate is when the Mishnah says we're trusting her with the Eid Echad, what is the case that we're trusting the Eid Echad? Is it if the Eid Echad is saying testimony regarding the individual who he gave her kinuy about? That's when Eid Echad is Neman. But if the Eid Echad is coming to say testimony about a different individual that I saw her be Tamei with, that wouldn't be sufficient. And the explanation is because why is an Eid Echad Neman? The reason an Eid Echad is Neman is because there was a kinui. But the kinui was about a certain individual. If the kinui was only about a certain individual, says the Beis Yosef, so only for that person, even though, as we're going to be learning, and we've learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the B'chol HaTorah Kula, the halacha is, we need to have two Eidim. Here, one Eid is sufficient. But if he's coming to speak about a different man who is not the man that kinui was issued about, So there the halacha is, as it is b'chala tara kula, that you need two edim. But other rishonim say not like that. Other rishonim say that you need, that once this woman, unfortunately, has been established as a woman who's not acting in the appropriate manner, the proof that she's not acting in the appropriate manner is the fact that she, her husband gave her kinui. So any eid echad saying testimony about any man would be sufficient. In fact, the Rashba says a very big chiddush. The Rashba says that not only is an eid echad neman, and not only, as we just learned, is an evidence shivcha neman, even the man himself, if he comes and says that I was the man that had relations with her, he will be believed. Of course, the question is that the Mishnah Melech and the Keren Oira and the Miches Chinuch all ask, by him saying this testimony, he's making himself into a Rasha. He's saying that I had relations with a married woman. And we have a rule throughout Shas that ain't other mesim atzmei Rasha. So the question, so how could he believe? So because of that, the Keren Oira says, the Mishnah Melech says that we apply the concept of Palgina Debura. Now that's a very difficult concept, because if somebody is going to come in and say testimony that this woman had relations with a man, if he's not going to identify who the man was, we wouldn't accept the testimony. So that's why many Echroinim ask, how can we apply over here the concept of Palgina Debura? We have to have a testimony that includes the name of who was the man she had the relations with. And because of that, the Keren Oira introduces a new concept. He introduces a concept of Palginan Nemonis. What that means is, of course, we have the man who's claiming that he was the one that she had relationship with, he was the one that she had a relationship with, say his whole statement. And saying the whole statement includes saying that it was me, as it was me. But Palginim Namonis teaches us that we believe him regarding the fact that he's testifying that she had relations with a man, but we don't believe him regarding the fact that he says that it was me. There's an interesting machloikus achroinim. Throughout Shas, we know that one of the ways that testimony is not accepted is aid me pi aid. That means if somebody says aidus, and that not that he testifies or saying aidus to what he saw himself, he's an aid me pi aid. He's saying testimony for something that he heard from somebody else. That typically is not acceptable aidus. The question is, our Mishnah is teaching us that for all, in the case of this woman, we're being lenient and whatever description, with accepting the testimony which is normally not accepted. The question is, will aid me pi aid be accepted for this testimony? The Miches Chinuch says yes. There are others that disagree. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Chamaisoi bas chamaisoi v'tzarasa, a mother-in-law, a mother-in-law's daughter, her tzara, the wife of the same husband, the yevimta, the woman, sister-in-law, her husband's brother's wife, ubas bala, her husband's daughter from a different wife. So out throughout Shas, the Gemara, Masechta Yevamos, the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, teaches us that when somebody is coming to say testimony about somebody who died, we're very lenient. That a husband died, we're very lenient. As we always learn in Shas, Mishimi Guna Kila Barabonim. Chazal were particularly lenient when it comes to a situation of an aguna. But the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, by each one of these women, why they have a particular dislike to this woman that they're saying testimony that her husband died. And therefore, even though we are lenient in the acceptance of testimony in such situations, we don't accept these people's testimony. It says the Mishnah that even though these people are normally not accepted, Harei El in the Manas, that they are trusted in this testimony. However, says the Mishnah, even though we're being lenient and accepting the testimony, we're not being so lenient to accept the testimony that she should lose the ksuba, because as we're learning, because they so dislike her, they will say testimony to hurt her that she should not get a ksuba. Ella, what it does accomplish is shloi tishta, that she won't drink the mayim hamamarim. So the Shef Shematzah explains what's shot in the Mishnah. So he explains, the way to understand the Mishnah is that we can't change the reality that the Mishnah Masechet Yevamos has taught us, that these women very much dislike this woman. And since these women very much dislike this woman, we can't accept their testimony about this woman completely. But we can be concerned for it. So in order that she, to not drink the Mayim Amarim, which, as we've learned and keep on learning in our Masechta, Chazal were anxious that they, that a woman should not drink the Mayim Amarim. To that degree, we don't let her drink, based on the testimony even of these women. But to deprive her of a ksuba, which she is entitled to, then the halach is that they don't have that ability because of their dislike of her. The Maram Shik says that the halach is that we don't trust the women, that these women, that she should lose her ksuba. And as we said, the Mishnah Masechet Yevamos teaches us that the testimony of these women cannot establish that her husband passed away. And he explains, even in a case of raglayim ladavar, where there is strong circumstantial evidence that the husband indeed died, maybe there we should accept the testimony of these women. Says the Maram Shik, if we see in our Mishnah that the testimony is only accepted that she doesn't drink, but she won't lose a ksuba, so certainly to let a woman who is an Eish HaSish be able to marry another man, we can never accept their testimony. The Maram Shik is in Shalos HaTshuvos Maram Shik, Evan Ezra Siman Mem. Says the Mishnah, Shoyi Bedin, we could have learned that Erer Echad should not be trusted. Because Imam Edus Rishonim, when we come to say testimony about the Stira, She'ein Asrasa Issa Olam, a woman who had stira doesn't become permanently prohibited to the husband. She'll drink the Mayim Amarim and she'll be fine. Still, the halacha is Eidim Eskayemes, but Pachs Mishnayim. Less than two witnesses are not accepted. So Eidus Achroina, that this Eidus that says that she actually had relations with Amon, with her husband, Shasrasa Yisraelim, when we accept this testimony, she will be forever prohibited to her husband. Ain't a dish like the Skyim, but Pachs Mishnayim. So certainly the halacha should require that she should have two witnesses to say this testimony. Tamaloimer, the pasuk says, "Vehi nitma ve'ed einba." There were no testimony. From where we see, "Kol eidah sheyeshba," as long as there's anybody who could say testimony that she did it, she is prohibited. Says the Gemara. But now ask the Mishnah question. So shouldn't we say a reverse kal v'chomer? Kal v'chomer le'edus rishonim ata. Shouldn't we say the following kal v'chomer? Uma'im eidus achrona. The eidus that she had this, that she was nitma, which as we just learned, accomplishes. Shasrosoi is the oilam. We're learning in our Mishnah, harei miskayem speidecho, one eidus sufficient. So eidus harishonah, the eidus about the stira, shena srosa asylum, that doesn't accomplish that she should be osa forever. Because, as we said, if she'll drink the mayim amarim, and she'll be determined innocent, she'll be able to go back to her husband. So ought the halacha be, shouldn't the halacha be, ein adin shetiskayim beid echad, that one eid should be sufficient? Tamaloimer, kiikach ish ubala, v'hayim lo sim tzachem ba'anav, kimatza ba erves dover. The Torah speaks about somebody who divorces his wife because he found her acting immorally. When the Torah speaks about the halacha of Eidus, the pasuk says, "Lo yokem eidech beish, al pishnei eidim yokem dover." Ma lahalon. So we learn Gzeirah Shavah Dover Dover. Ma lahalon. just like by every testimony, al pishnaim, you need to have two witnesses. Afkan, the loch is for stira, you have to have shnayim. Eid Aimer, continues the Mishnah. Eid Aimer Nitmus. One eid says that she was that he saw her do this. Veid Echad, Veid Aimer, and the other eid says Loy Nitmus. Ishay Meris, what is one woman who's typically a disqualified aid, says that Nitmus, she did it. Vishay Mer Loy Nitmus. The loch is Hashi Soysa. Because these two aidim cancel each other out, so she's back to where she started. And she drinks the Mayim Ma'amrim. Eidach Amim Nitmus. And one eight says that, again, she was Tamei. Vishnaim Amrim Loi Nitmus. Hoysi Shoysa. Because the two cancel, the two Eidim cancel the one. Shnaim Amrim Nitmus. If two Eidim say that she was Tamei, Echor Amrim Loi Nitmus, Loi Hoysi Shoysa. Because she's considered certainly Tamei. And since she's considered certainly Tamei, as we've been learning throughout our Masechta, a woman who's certainly Tamei does not drink the Mayim HaMamorim. Our Mishnah said that for the Stira, the halacha is you have to have two Eidim. For as we just learned in the Mishnah learned the Gzeirah Shava, Dover Dover, that you always need to have two Eidim. Hi, asked the Gemara, is the Makar, is the source for teaching us that you need to have two Eidim because of this Gzeirah Shava. Hi, Tamaloymer Kimatza Avadavar. Tamaloymer, the Pasuk says regarding this, Vihi Nitma Ve'ein Ein Ba. Ba, V'lai Bekina. Regarding the Tumah, the Torah says, you don't have to have two Eidim. But for the Kinui, Ba, V'lai Bekinui, Ba, V'lai Bestir Me'ba'ilai. Why don't we learn it from the Pasuk, which is in the Parsha of Soita itself, where there the Torah clearly teaches us that the halacha is that for the tumah we don't need to have two eidim, but for the kinui and the stira you have to have two eidim. Hachinami kama, says the Gemara, exactly that's what the Mishnah meant to say. Tamaloymer, the way to understand the Mishnah is why must you have two eidim for the kinui and stira? Because we learned the pasuk as the Gemara just taught us how to learn the pasuk. Ba v'lo b'kina ba v'lo b'stira. The tuma ba'alma v'lo kina v'lo stira. And now the Mishnah asks another question: what happens if there's a woman who did not have kina v'stira, and Adam are coming to say that she had an inappropriate relations? How do we know that loy mehemen edechem nolan? How do we know that we won't accept 1 8, Nemakan Dover, says the Mishnah, because we learned the Gzeirah Shava, Nemakan Dover, the Nemalahalon Dover. So we learn from the Malahalon, you need two Adam, Afkan Tum Adam. And Rashi explains a concept which keeps on recurring in our Masechta. Why indeed for this Tumah is an 8 Echot sufficient? Because we have Reglaim L'Dover. Since this woman experienced both Kinui and Stira, that's why an Eid Echad for the Tumah is trusted. We learned in the Mishnah, Eid Echad, an Eid Amin Nitmus, if one Eid says that she was Tamei, and one a different Eid says she's not Tamei, the Mishnah says, Hoshe Shoysa, says the Gemara, Tam the Kamachishlei. The reason she drinks is because we have one against one, Halo Kamachishlei, but if there would be nobody disputing what he said, Eid Echad Mehemin, the halacha is that he's trusted. We accept that she's Tamei. And because we accept that she's Tamei, we don't let her drink. Because a woman who's definitely Tamei doesn't drink the Mei Soita. The Mei Soita is only drank by a woman who we don't know what her status is. If we know her status is, then she doesn't drink. So Rashi points out that the Gemara could have asked this question right at the beginning. We're learning throughout our Mishnah that Eid Echad is Nema to say she's Tameya. The Gemara should have asked right away, where do we know that? But the Rashi says the Gemara wanted to explain everything that we learned, when Eid Echad is Nema, when the Halacha says she's Nema, when not. And then the Gemara asked the question. Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, regarding a Soita that is Tamei, the Pasuk says, Ve'eid Ein Ba. It says the Gemara, B'shnayim akos medavar, that there are no two people saying that she's tamei. There's only one person. And the Torah is saying that even though there's only one person testifying that way, she's also to her husband. Says the Gemara, Atoim, is that the way to understand the pasuk ve'eda ein bo? There are no two edim, b'shnayim, ve'eda be'echad, that there isn't even one aid. Tamaloima, layokam eid echad be'ish. The Torah says, layokam eid echad be'ish. And the pasuk is a difficult pasuk. The word aid is in the singular. Mimashma shenema layokam aid. So we know we're talking eini yudei she'echad. Obviously we're speaking about one person. Why? Because it says aid b'loshin yochin in the singular. Eini yudei she'echad. So why did the Torah have to add the word echod? From here we're learning that kol makom shenemer aid, that whenever the Torah uses the word aid, it means harekan shnayim, it means two aidim. That's the definition of the word aid. Unless the Torah is clearly indicating that we're speaking about an aid echod, like it says here, layokum aid echabish. But if the Torah would only say the word aid, it always means two eidim. And now Gemara goes back to as we explained. V'am Rachmana, and the Torah Akdoisha teaches us, Trey Lespa, Ve'ed Eim Ba. And now we're saying that the definition of the word eid means that no two eidim. So the way to understand the Pasuk, Ve'ed Eim Ba, there are no two eidim. But El Echad, there's only one eid. V'hilai Nispasa, and she wasn't raped, she wasn't violated. And the Torah Kedosh is teaching us a surah that she is also to her husband, even though she has only one aid. Ask the Gemara, the Kivin de Medaraisa Eidechem Nemon, Idoch. So once one aid, ask the Gemara, back to the case of our Mishnah. Once one aid established that she's Tamei, Heichimatzim Machashlo, how could another aid uncancel him, undo what he said? Vama Ula, has Ula not taught us? Kamakam Shemina Torah Eid Echad, wherever the Torah trusts an Eid Echad, so the Halach is viewing that situation, Harei Kan Shnayim, as if there are two Eidim. When the Torah says that an Eid Echad is trusted, so it's in those situations, that Eid Echad is like two Eidim. And therefore, once the other Eid comes to say that the first Eid is not correct, we don't trust the testimony of an Eid Echad versus two Eidim. And this is the case here. Once one Eid said she's Tamei, the Halacha views that situation as if two Eidim are saying she's Tamei. Once the Halacha views that situation as if there are two Eidim that she's saying that are saying she's Tamei, we can't have an Eid Echad undo that. Elam Ula, Tani, the way to learn the Mishnah is Lo Yoyishaisa. When we have two Eidim, one says she's Tamei, and one says she's not Tamei, the second Eid, he can't cancel him out, and Lo Yoyishaisa, we believe the first Eid. The Ken Amar Rav Yitzchak, and so too is the opinion of Rav Yitzchak, the Lo Yoyishaisa. Rav Chiya Amar, Rav Chiya does maintain the gears of a Mishnah. But ask the Gemara the question that we just asked. How could Rav Chiya explain the Mishnah? Don't we have what Ula just taught us? That Ula just taught us that once she's established, because the Eid Echad is Nemon, how could a one Eid undo that? Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Indeed, if an Eid Echad came in and said she's Tamei, and Bezdin accepted that testimony, the Loch is, it's accepted as it to the equivalent as if there were two Eidim. And she's considered Tamei and she doesn't drink. But what happens if both Eidim came at the same time? And before Bezdin accepted the testimony, accepted the testimony of the first Eid, the second Eid walked in. Under those circumstances, they cancel each other out. Ask the Gemara Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Eid Amar Nitmas, Vishnaim Amar Loi Nitmas, one Eid said she's Tamei, and another Eid said two Eidim said she's not Tamei, Hoshe Shoisa. So the question is that if Rav Chiya is trusted, and Rav Chiya's halacha is correct, and one aid could cancel the testimony of one aid, so certainly two aidim could cancel the testimony of one aid. What did the Mishnah said? Hachad v'chad shaisa, if v'chad v'chad, when we have one against one, the halacha is loyai shaisa, so to your, certainly when we have two against one, isn't this tiyufta Rav Chiya? Isn't this a refutation? So of course, the teretz that the Gemara could have given is one against one is only accepted in a case, is not accepted only after we accepted the testimony of the first aid. But two against one always has that power. So the Gemara should have given that teretz. So the Rishonim say the reason the Gemara didn't give that teretz because the Gemara doesn't seem to see that there's a difference in our Mishnah where, if it was or wasn't accepted. Amlach Rav Chiya or Tameich. So Rav Chiya says, let's learn the Mishnah further. Ema say, v'shnayim amir nitmas, v'echar amir loy nitmas, loy ois yishoysa. Hachad v'chad. Isn't the Mishnah clearly indication that if there was one against one, hoyishoysa. So isn't that a diak, just the opposite, the diak in the Sefer is a diak opposite of the Reisha. Then the Reisha, it seems, chad v'chad, loy yishoysa. And from the Sefer, it seems, chad v'chad ha'yishoysa. Ella, how do we explain the Mishnah? Kula, the entire Mishnah is referring to individuals who are normally psuli edus, people who are disqualified to say edus. And our Mishnah follows of Nechemya, the Tanya of Nechemya Omer, kamakam shemina Torah erechad. When the Torah trusts one aid, the halacha is, it's not the regular halacha of edus. The way it's we look at it is we look at opinions. And since we look at opinions, halach acha reiv deis. That means one of the most fundamental halachas of edus is shtayim kameya. Two edim are equivalent to 100 edim. But when do we say that two edim are equivalent to 100 edim? That's when we're talking about kosher edim. But when we're talking about individuals who are apostle, also shtei noshim bish echad, so we have two edim, that two women, who are normally disqualified for edus, testifying one kosher aid, it's kishnei and noshim bish echad. It's the same when you have two men against one man. Now, when you have two men against one man, so the two men are believed, and the four men is completely discredited. Our Mishnah says the same. If two edim, who are edim psulim, say testimony against the one aid, even though the one aid is trusted in our Mishnah, the one aid is trusted in our Mishnah, but he's not considered, says Rav Nechemya, like regular two edim. Yes, the Torah gave a new din that one aid could be accepted, but it doesn't have the full-fledged halacha as if he was two aid. The Kikadamri, now the Gemara gives a different explanation of Chia. Indeed, if one aid came and said that she was Tamei, the halacha is a filumei noshim, even if there are 100 women that dispute him and say she's not Tamei, nam keirech damye. It's only those 100 women are considered one against one. And once the first aid said she's Tamei, and we're learning throughout our shir, the one aid is Neman, she's Tamei, and I don't care what the 100 women said. But our Mishnah is referring that the first person that said that she's Tamei was also a disqualified aid. She's going to Asi Isha Meikara. And therefore, if we have two women against one woman, the one woman who becomes discredited. And this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Wherever the Torah trusts one aid, halach achad reiv deis. It's not the regular halach of aidus. We look at how many people said testimony. So when we have two women against one woman, it's treated like two men against one man. That the halach is, when you have two men against one man, the first man is disqualified, discredited. Two women against one woman is the same. If the first one was a kosher aid, a man, but it was only one, and now we have two women, It's kipalga palga dummy. It's considered like it's 50-50. And since we had an eight echad kosher saying that she was tameh, and the other two people that say she's not tameh are two women, the halacha is that once we've established by the one A that she's tameh, we follow that. Says the Gemara, "Tati b'psula edus lamali." So why did our Mishnah have to give us two different examples of this case where two Edom say she's tamei and one Ed says against them, or where one says she's tamei and two say she's not tamei? Answers the Gemara, because Mana Temekiz Lein Basar Rav Deus, Rabbi Chaim is teaching us that we follow the opinions. How many opinions will we have when we have Pasla Edus? That we would say maybe only L'chumra. That if an Ed Echot says she's tamei and two say she's not tamei, and we're going to follow Rav Deus, the halacha is she would have to drink. That's the way Rashi learns, that the chumra is to drink. Others learn just the opposite. Avla kula, but in a case where one eight says she's not tamei and two say that she's tamei, if we're going to follow Rav Deus, we'll be makel and she won't have to drink. Loyaz linen, we won't go after Rav Deus. Kamashmalan, the Mishnah teaches us that when it comes to this type of situation where we're dealing with Pasul Edus, we go with Rav Deus no matter what happens, if she will have to drink or won't have to drink because of what was said. Hanolach Mishkina, Hanolach Mishkina, Hanolach Mishkina.